Hi guys, it's your host Matilda,
Deeza,
and Imama,
and you're listening to the Afrocalypso podcast. Hi guys, welcome to another episode of the Afrocalypso podcast. We have a special episode for you guys because we have a special guest today. And she's not Nigerian. And that's a huge thing for us because I feel like a lot of guests of ours, not all, but a lot of guests of ours are Nigerian. And we're trying, because we're called Afrocalypso technically. And one of our intentions was to draw from the experiences of other Africans, even though we're primarily a Nigerian podcast. But like just where we have similarities, we try to like get people on. So,
but you know what's interesting though? At the beginning, we used to have a lot more African
I agree.
Yes, come on. Yeah.
I agree. I think maybe we settled into like what is comfortable and what is easy. But I really think there's an importance too, because as we said in the last episode, Nigerians are like the Americans of Africa. Mm-hmm. We like thinking like our own view is the whole African view, but it's not. But yes, all that to say, we are joined by Ebiwemi. I don't want to pronounce your last name, so you can pronounce it properly for me. But we are joined by Ebi today. Hi, Ebi.
Hi. Woo! Ebi. Woo!
In the building with the energy. I love that.
Yes, my name is Ebi Weyime. You actually pronounce it correctly.
Weyime. Okay, yeah. It really pronounces how it's spelled, but I just want to make sure that I'm not, you know, yeah. So yeah. Evie is a pro-choice and child-free advocate. She has a TikTok called The Child-Free Kenyan. And she's also the founder of the Grace Co-
The Child-Free African.
The Child-Free African. Oh, but it used to be The Child-Free Kenyan.
Yes, it grew.
Okay. Continental.
Yes.
Yes. And she's also the founder of the Grace Corp. It's a menstrual health and hygiene company. So welcome, Ebi. How are you doing?
I am doing really, really great. Thank you for having me here. I really, you know, in Kenya, it's about 5:30 in the evening. So I was just like, just get that rebel. Let's keep the energy up. I know it's Saturday, but yo.
I could see the difference between our energy levels. Like for us, we're just waking up. So we're like, you know, like, hi. But you're like already in the swing of the day.
Yeah, we're almost winding up. Yeah.
Damn. How's your week been?
Hectic. I'm planning on travel in the next like 2 weeks. So, you know, just getting things, just wrapping things up.
Oh, that's exciting. Wait, travel. Actually, I mean, I guess, I know like in Nigeria, we don't really tell people where we're traveling to, but is it like within Africa or outside Africa?
It's not a Nigerian thing. It's a Kenyan thing as well. We have this saying, you say,
oh, really?
The one thing that a Kenyan can keep secret is when they're looking for a visa. You know that point when you're still applying?
Yeah. And yep.
Like, they don't talk. No one says anything until the visa is out.
Oh, Nigerians will tell you until they're there.
Like, maybe until they're there.
Yeah. You call him like, oh, where are you? They're Canada. Yeah,
and it's so
and
funny
they're living
friendships...
there like they've relocated.
And friendships are actually broken because of that, you know? Like, it's actually quite crazy.
That's cool. Yeah, that's really cool. Like, why wouldn't you tell your friends? Like, we have, when the visa is here and like you're ready and everything, then we have the whole, you know, going away party and all of that. Like, we are
going away party. Oh. Yeah,
we thing? Don't. Away party? It's not a thing.
No. No. When we come back to visit, we will celebrate.
But the fact that I went and came back.
I'm sure some people have it, but I don't think
some people, like, it cannot be. It can't be everybody.
I've never seen it before, Sha.
No. I'm sure, like, I have seen somebody do a going away party, but it's just not common.
I cannot imagine the people in this world who don't do going away parties. I can't believe it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's definitely not common in Nigeria. Like, if you see it, it's like one or two here, and it's typically between, like, I guess the people that are
younger.
Yeah, younger, like younger, more like Twitter, you know, people, like stuff like that. Like more, maybe I'll say more westernized. More modern. Yeah, more modern Nigerians, like more westernized Nigerians.
Because Nigerians believe that till the second they're actually there, you still have power to like disrupt the
Yep, exactly. Whether it's at the airport or whether it's on the plane or
paranoid.
Legit.
I mean, but who is chasing you?
Village people, Matilda. Village people.
your ancestors.
Exactly.
Bruh. So yeah, I think you were asking where she's traveling.
Well, I was asking if she's like within Africa or outside like Africa.
We went so far. How did we get here? Okay. Yeah, I'm going to Finland. I'm traveling to Finland. Oh, yes.
The exact location. Oh, but that is really exciting though. That's nice.
Yeah.
All right. So the reason we were hoping to have Ebi on, and we have Ebi on right now, is to discuss the concept of being a child-free African, and not childless, but child-free.
Yeah.
And the difference is sometimes there's a lot of people that struggle to have kids, and it's not really by choice. And we've actually had someone on to talk about like fertility and stuff like that. So go check that out. But child-free in that the decision is on them. Like they probably can have kids, but they don't want to. And that's, surprise, surprise, really, really foreign to us as Africans, because I think generally there is a thought process that there's just things that you do in this life and it's just an expectation.
People are like, how can you not want kids? Like, how?
Exactly. It's mind-boggling to people. Yeah. And I've had many a conversation with my parents, like talking about, like, I understand the decision. To them, they think it's selfish.
Yeah.
And the world will end if everybody decides to not have children.
But everybody won't decide that. That's just the facts.
I guess, like, to an African, it's like a huge deal. Mm. So it is kind of like an alternative decision, right? Like as of where we are as a society right now. So we wanted to try to have you on to kind of understand your journey, your decisions, how that's been, and, you know, just get some insights there. All right. We can't really start this without understanding what led to your choice. And have you always had this mindset, I would say, since you were young?
Thank you very much for inviting me here. First of all, does any of you have kids?
No.
Okay. Because sometimes when I talk...
Before you offend us, is that why?
Or maybe you have and you're still not sure.
Huh?
Nah.
Like we have kids and we're... We are not men here. We are not men.
Anyway, so how did I decide that I'm going to be child-free? Actually, ironic enough, starting off as a child, I did want to be a mom. Actually, I even had names for my children. I wanted to have 3 kids. Oh. I was like, I'm going to have twins, a boy and a girl, and then I'm going to adopt a boy. Their names were Shade and Jason. And then the third one, the adopted one, is going to be Zidi Zaka. Like, I had it planned. I had it all planned out. And then guys would be like, and how sure are you that you're going to get twins? And I'm like, guys, we're in the 2000s, of course. There's going to be a way to do this. Yeah, there's always a way. And my plan was to start doing it when I get to 29. I'm going to get pregnant. Then as I get into my 30s, I'm going to get into my 30s as a mom. But somewhere along the way, I think at around 25 years old, I started really questioning a lot of things. And the first thing that I actually started questioning was my own religion. Like, why am I a religious person? Why am I a Christian? You know, so I started having such thoughts, you know, but before I could even decide on anything, I just decided, let me first let go of society. I was really thinking about the kind of pressures that we have, because by then I was living in Cape Town in South Africa. Sorry, I'm just jumping everywhere. But I was living in Cape Town in South Africa. I was working as a model and an actor. And I knew that when I get to 29 years old, I'm going to transition and become a mom. But then I started questioning a lot of things about my life. Like, why am I even doing this? Why is there so much pressure from society for me to become a mom? That was like really, because I'm like, yeah, I want to be a mom at 30. But why though? you know, like you never really sit down and ask yourself why, like who gave you this magic number? And it really took a long time of mental, I don't want to call it mental anguish, but it really felt like it at that point. And it was a very long process. It was more than a year of just constantly rewiring how I'm looking at life and how I see things. And then it got to a point I just decided, you know what? Actually, society doesn't even know what they're doing. Half of the people around me, people are just guessing their way through life, you know? Yeah. Like no one really knows what they're doing. Why would I take advice from you? You have no idea what you're doing with your life, you know? So why should I take advice from you? Then I'm like, nah, I think I'm going to do things my way, like how I want it. And the one thing that I told myself was, I would rather try it and fail and regret, but it was my decision, than do it because somebody else told me to do it. I fail. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, ah, shoot, I should have just tried it my way, you know? Mm. So I would rather fail my way than fail because somebody else dictated things for me. So after I let that go and just decided that, yeah, I'm just going to live my life and I really don't care about society's standards, I think I really broke free. I started thinking now. When I think of things, when I want to decide on things, I really don't care. Ooh, but what will my mama say? Ooh, what will my friends say? Ooh, what will Instagram say? You know, I really don't put that into consideration. You get me? I just do things the way I want to do them, as long as it's justifiable from my side and I'm not hurting anyone and I'm within my legal rights, then yeah. In Kenya, we say kaende kaende, which means it is what it is. Let it happen.
I'm going to start saying that.
Kaende kaende. I have a quick question.
Yeah.
So like, I guess based off of like the revelation that you came to, like, do you think that when you were younger and wanted kids and had all those plans for like wanting kids, it was mainly because of society, even like from that age, or you just liked kids, or I don't know?
Well, I've always liked kids. I still do. And I don't know why people think that the moment you say you're child-free, it means you hate kids. It really doesn't mean that. It just means that I love children, but I just don't want to produce any from my own vagina.
Also, you would still adopt. Not you would, but like...
yes. Exactly. So there was definitely the pressure from society. But then, like I said, I'd already let go of society. So now I was free to actually think like how I'm supposed to be thinking. And the next part of me, because I was thinking about this whole thing stemmed from, do I want a child or not? You know? So the next thing was, well, religion says that you must have a child. You know, if you don't want to listen to society, that's great. But then you have to listen to religion. And I've been raised a Christian. I've grown up in the church. So you can imagine the kind of torture that I had to go through to now want this thing for myself, that I really, really want to be child free. But then on the other hand, well, you're religious and your religion does not advocate for this. So then where do you go? Who do you choose? You know, and again, it took a very long time for me to actually realize, wow, I'm not even a religious person. You know, I don't even want religion. I don't want to be a Christian. I don't want to be identified as a Christian, you know, because again, I started digging deep into why am I a religious person? If I was born into a Muslim home, would I be a Muslim right now? Chances are, yeah. I'd be a Muslim. I'll be wearing we call it the bui bui, you know, the one that you cover up your face with. My name would probably be Amina, you know? So I'm like, yeah, I'm only a Christian because I was born into a Christian home. I did not have a choice. I just found myself here, you know? But now I'm an adult and I can think for myself. Then I started asking my questions, why am I a Christian? Because this religion is telling me that I must have children. And if I don't have children, then I'm not a good person and it's against the law and the commandments and blah, blah, blah. But in my heart of hearts, I know that I do not want to be a mother. I don't want to go through this path. So it was, again, a lot of back and forth and back and forth. And finally, I broke free from religion. I keep saying, I saw the light. I saw the light and broke free from religion. And broke free from religion. And then after that, I guess that's when I really now started thinking seriously about motherhood and why I was so hell-bent on becoming a mother. Yeah, so that's where the journey started.
So it was actually triggered first by your thoughts on religion. Because I'm very curious to understand, I don't know if you mind sharing, but what really triggered those thoughts?
Thoughts about what? Society or religion?
I guess both. Like what in your life made you stop and think, why am I doing all these things? And reflect that much. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah. Ironically, like I was saying, it all stemmed from me thinking, do I want to be a mother or not? And then
That's where it actually started.
Yes. And then now having, Well, society is telling you yes. And now I have to face society. And then now, well, if you don't care about society, well, your religion is telling you yes. Well, now I don't care about religion. So why else am I having a child? Yeah. So what else remains?
And I guess even the motherhood thought, was there someone in your life that asked you that question or kind of pressured you a little bit? Or was there something you saw that kind of, I guess, or was it the age that you got to? Like, what were the circumstances surrounding your life at that time that even triggered that first, do I want to be a mother thoughts and series of questioning?
I think to me, it was more not even like pressure from family. It was more the career that I was having at that point. Like I said, I was modeling in Cape Town, and being a model those days was around 2011. Was the first time when I moved to Cape Town. After just graduating from uni, I went straight to Cape Town to start modeling. And it was very cutthroat. It was very, by then there was no Instagram and all of that. So you had to like walk around with a Z card and go for go-sees and go to this designer and the next, you know, like it wasn't as digital as things are right now. And it was even way more harder to be discovered. So when I was there, I started working as a model, and I could see older models coming in for auditions and stuff, because at some point I got into acting and then I got into being a casting director, and I would see older women come in. By then I was in my 20s. I was about 25, 26. And I would see women coming in their 40s, coming in to audition for different roles. And I'm the one behind the camera. And I'm like, oh my God, Abby, you know, it's not very far until you're here. I would see women coming in with their kids because they can't find someone to take care of their kids. And they're still hustling the same way that I was hustling. And I'm like, the more I kept approaching 30, because 30 was my aim, 30 was when I'd start my family. Mm-hmm. The more I kept approaching 30, honestly, the more scared I started becoming. And then I am really grateful that my close friends, a good number of them have kids, but with them, they tell me the truth, like the way things are really not as rosy as you may be thinking. And they're not telling me that to scare me. No, they're just telling me things the way it is, you know, especially the whole process of actually birthing a human. It's not it's not a walkover as people want to make it seem. And they tell you the truth and you actually see it. And just going through that, you start really questioning a lot of things.
Okay. I kind of really relate with that, because I think there is an age, and I think I'm kind of at that age where a lot of people start going down that path, and you actually have to ask yourself realistically, is this actually something you want? Because before that, it is just a concept. Like when you're young and some people were even saying they want to have kids at 23. Like we just used to say things. You know? So I think when it becomes more realistic and you actually have to, and you have other life goals as well, and you try to think of that in comparison with what your life goals are and like, where does that fit in realistically? I think it makes sense that you started asking those questions at that time.
Yeah.
So like as Africans, like as we said at the beginning, it's a traditional path. When you made that decision, or when you started coming to that realization anyway, did you tell your family and the society around you? And what was their reaction to it?
Well, first of all, it's not like I just woke up and decided, oh yeah, I don't want to have kids. Again, it was a long battle of myself. And I keep telling the people that I talk to, I'm like, you must be able to sit with yourself and have a conversation with yourself. Mm-hmm. And there comes a point in life, especially for a woman, no one will save you out of the pit that you're in. You just have to sit with yourself. If you're a terrible person, you'll have to sit with your terrible person and have a conversation and really start looking at how to move forward in the future. So that's the kind of conversation that I was having with myself. And honestly, it was really a long battle. Guys, I have diaries in my house. I used to write future letters for my children. Like, that's how deep
for
I
your
was.
Children. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I have them. Okay. Like, I was really, like, I really knew I was going to do this. So you can imagine for me to now turn and become this child-free advocate, it's like a whole 180. It's a complete turn.
Like 180.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was not an easy thing. Like, I just woke up and decided, yeah, I'm child-free. And that's why even when girls come to my page, I'm like, yo, this takes a long time for you to decide. You don't have to just wake up and say, yes, I'm child-free. Like, really have this conversation with yourself. And to me, one of the biggest fears was, oh, what if I tell people I'm child-free and then tomorrow I decide I want to
you
be a mom?
You decide not to.
Yeah, like, what happens, you know? Like, am I really sure about this decision? It happened in like little steps. But then the major thing, the one turning point that I remember I had was when I was in 2017, I came back to Kenya to start my company, The Grace Cup. And by then I was dating another guy. He had one child. He had one child with an ex-wife, a young child, like about 4 years old. And I remember we're lying in bed at like 10 in the morning on like a Friday or some weekday. And we're looking at Table Mountain and it's beautiful and it's quiet. And I just randomly asked him, like I turned to him and I asked him, I'm like, if we had your baby here, would we be in bed right now? And he's like, oh, hell no. We will not be in bed. Like, just lying down, just chilling and looking at the mountain. Hell no, we would not be in bed. And I remember just looking at him and then looking at Table Mountain. And I was like, yeah, I like my view. And at that point, that's when I actually realized, yeah, this is what I want. I want this life where I'm just chilling and just looking at the mountain and just doing nothing. And then now, after deciding that for myself, that was now me. I have decided, but I have not told a single soul. Because it's almost like, I was telling my friend, it's almost like you're coming out of the closet, you know? Like, you're gay and you know you're gay. Like, 100% sure you're gay. And now you have to go tell your parents. That's how it felt.
Yeah. If anything that diverts from, like, society's norms, it always feels like you have to come out and tell people.
I know, like,
because they're waiting for you to do what is, in quotes,
expected.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I know. And I'm like, oh my God, now I have to tell people. Like, and isn't it crazy how society is set up? Why do I have to announce that I don't want to have children?
Yeah, like, that is so interesting. It's like, why can't I just not want to have them?
Yeah. Like, why do I have to come out of the closet? Because if you think about it, if I decide not to have kids, my life just continues. Nothing changes physically, financially, like, literally nothing about my life changes. But if I decide to have a child, everything changes. Physically, I will change. Financially, mentally, like, everything changes. So I should be the one, the person that is having the child should be the one to come out of the closet. Because why would you want to turn your life upside down in 2023? You know, you should be the one explaining, not the one not changing their life. You know?
That is a fair argument. I would lie to you. Yeah. I think it's just because for where we are right now, it's because you know that they're going to start asking
expected.
You when the baby is coming. So they expect that life change to happen by default. Yeah. And then I almost imagine that, like, telling the people around you would take that pressure off of you so that, like, as you go on, people will start asking you and being like, oh, when are you planning having on having kids? Oh, you're getting older. You're da da da. So it kind of saves you from distress.
Yeah, it's the
thought process, but
Yeah, the first person to know was my brother and my sister-in-law. My brother is like a neutral, cool kind of guy. He really doesn't. Like, it's your life, man. Just do you. He's that kind of he's that kind of guy. So at least it was just easy for my mouth to for my tongue to roll those words. I don't want kids. I never want kids. And just having to tell someone, like, oh my God, it felt like, oh my God. Oh my God, I've said it. I've told them. And I chose my brother because I knew he's not gonna judge me in any way. He's not gonna be extreme in any way. But at least his family. You know, so I told him, and of course, my sister-in-law was like, oh, well, you'll change your mind. You know, like, people always think, oh, you'll change your mind. And you left it at that. And then the second group of people that I told were my grandparents, because they're like very staunch Christian.
Really?
Yeah, because I knew they were going to say no. I knew their reaction, of course. Okay. But again, I'm practicing, you know, I'm practicing saying this thing because I haven't told my parents yet.
Yeah. You're taking it to the extreme first.
Yes, yes, before I go back. Before I go back just to test it. And of course, my grandparents are like, no, no way. Mm-mm, no way. I even told them about adoption. They're like, no. How dare you talk about adoption? They're like, you don't know those kids. You don't know their blood. They could be witches. You don't know their bloodline. How could you adopt? How could you adopt? It was like, yeah. And so I handled that. And then now finally I told my parents. And that was difficult. That was not
fun. Did they take it well?
No, not at all. My mom at the beginning, again, just thought, oh, yeah, you're just confused. You know, you'll change your mind. There's nothing, you'll change your mind. And my dad was like, well, if that is what you've decided, I think maybe you're just a bit confused. But if that is what you've decided, then I would suggest that you go harvest your eggs so that maybe in future, when you change your mind, you might,
not if, when.
exactly.
When you change everyone's stance was pretty much you probably change your mind.
Yes. And then I was actually considering my dad's idea. I'd actually started doing research. And that was around just before COVID time, just before it was end of 2019 when we're having this conversation. And then I was doing now getting to research on harvesting of eggs, how much it's quite expensive, actually. And it's also a very painful procedure. Like I got deep into that. I'm like, wow, why don't people
talk about that part? Right. Like the part of like getting your eggs.
Yes.
Because when we had the conversation with the person that was trying to have kids, like she had fertility issues and had to go through IVF. If you really think about it, everything she described was just to get her eggs. And when you have to store your eggs, you have to go through that exact same process or similar process. And so when people keep talking about freezing their eggs, I feel like they don't talk about how like you are actually going to be hormoned up.
Mm. Yes.
And injecting yourself, I'm imagining.
Yes. And they're going to cut you up to get those eggs, girl.
Wait, what?
Yeah, they cut you up to get them.
I thought they just go through your...
They don't like suck it.
Yeah, I thought they just go through... I guess I don't know how the process works. But I thought it was kind of like, you know how like during a pap smear...
Yes, like it goes inside through... Yes. Sorry. I was thinking BTL. Sorry. Yes, it goes through the vagina, to get it out. But still...
What is BTL?
Bilateral tubal ligation, when they tie up your tubes for your...
Okay.
You know, like the opposite of vasectomy.
Yeah.
Interesting. So,
that's so permanent though.
That's what I have.
Okay. Okay, so then you were considering freezing your eggs, but then you went the complete opposite way.
I was, because in 2020, again, during the pandemic time. People were coupling up, you know, there was lockdown and you are not really going anywhere. So I found we used to call them the COVID bay, you know?
Okay.
So I found one and before I knew it, I was knocked up, man. I was pregnant.
Oh.
Yeah.
I guess not, oh no, but like, oh, okay. It must be shocking. It must have been shocking.
I know. 2020 was crazy for many reasons for me, not just Corona happening, like there's just too much happening. So I got pregnant. I knew about it in July. It was July. I keep saying the darkest July of my life. Like a lot, apart from that, a lot of other things were happening. I was getting kicked out of my house because of other issues. Like it was just, it was bad. And then now realizing that I'm getting, that I'm pregnant, it was just... But I keep saying I was pregnant for 3 days because I only knew about it for 3 days. When I tested, it's like I tested today. The same day I called my doctor, I'm like, tomorrow, we're doing this, you know?
I'm screaming.
Is it legal in Kenya?
It's restricted. So if it's done within the law, then yes, it can be done. But then again, many people don't even know that. They think it's illegal.
Wait, what do you mean by done within the law?
So there are certain parameters that an abortion can be done. So, for example, if for health reasons, of course, to save the life of the woman, if there's threat to life is not just physical harm, it's also mental harm. So, for example, you're a student and you come from a very strict family and you know that if your parents know that you're pregnant, something bad might happen to you. Yeah. So that is also within legal parameters. So it's not just being physically at harm, it's also being mentally mm-hmm. at harm. So say, for example, you're messing around with someone's husband and you got pregnant and now the wife knows and she's threatening your life.
Very valid. Yeah.
I mean, valid, yeah. But also very interesting that like the law has considered these options.
Yeah.
Like, that valid. Is a threat yeah. to your life.
I mean, yeah, valid. It is. That is correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, I got it done. And then exactly 2 months later, I went and got my tubes tied. And that was done.
Okay.
Because I was like, and I think, so within that period of me, I had already considered tying my tubes. So, and from now on, when I say BTL, just know that's what I mean, tying of the tubes.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'd already considered BTL. But again, I was still researching on what my dad had told me, harvest your eggs. And then if you change your mind, blah, blah, blah. And honestly, I just wanted to do that for his sake, because he was really troubled with me saying that I never want to have kids. Mm-hmm. So I was only considering it just to calm him down, you know, because he was really affected by the news.
Okay.
Yeah. So when I got pregnant, I realized that, first of all, it was a terrible experience for me, even though I keep saying I was pregnant for 3 days, because I only knew about it for 3 days. And before I knew it, it was done. But I kept feeling like there's something growing inside me, like, it's like an alien. Like, I hated the feeling. I know people say, oh, wait, just wait when you get pregnant, you're going to love it. No, I hated it. Like, I seriously did.
You actually got to experience it and see what they're yes. saying, like, for yourself yes. in your own experience.
And yeah. Honestly, I felt like my body had been held captive and there's nothing I could do about it. And now I just have to grow it for 9 months. I have no choice. I sleep, it's there. I wake up, I go to the toilet, I do, it's there. And I'm growing it and I need to take care of myself. And it felt, I really felt imprisoned by that feeling. And I'm like, I can't run away. I can't do it. And my body, every day I wake up, my body will be getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'll be having acne. My teeth will probably be falling off. Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the nose thing too. The nose thing yeah. has been on my TikTok.
Yeah. My TikTok. And I'm like, it was and I'm not dismissing other people's good feelings. If pregnancy was good for you, good for you. But for me, it really felt horrible. So I was like, even after the abortion, there's no way I'm going to harvest my eggs, because I never, ever, ever want to be pregnant again. Mm-hmm. And then the option was to go get an implant, because I talked to my gynecologist. And then this is the other thing that I came to learn as well. People, especially professionals, should really not put in their religious perspectives, especially when they're talking to a woman about their reproductive issues. So I was talking to my gynecologist, who's a very lovely woman, and she's a very staunch Muslim. And she was trying to convince me not to tie my tubes, because I told her I wanted you to do it. And she's like, oh, no, but you don't have a baby yet. And you know, and the Bible says, and religion and blah, blah, blah. I'm thinking, no. And I kept thinking, why are you giving me your religious and personal opinion? Give me your professional opinion. Because she's now bringing in the Quran and she's bringing in religion and all of that. And I'm like, you're not my priest, man. You're my doctor. Give me, you know, as a doctor, if you tell me, well, we can't do the procedure because there's something growing or blah, 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 then that's a valid reason. But don't tell me I'm not going to do the procedure because of religion, because God says, you know. Mm-hmm. And it really, well, I stopped going to her because I was like, I cannot deal with a religious doctor. I just need someone that is just going to give me the professional opinion.
Medical.
That, yes. Yeah.
So a quick question. I like, obviously this is very like hypothetical, and I feel like with this kind of questions, you never really know unless like, you know, it happened. But I guess I was wondering, like, if you had a good 3-day pregnancy experience, like if you had a good experience like being pregnant, do you think you would have waited a little bit before you did your BTL? Like I said, this is very hypothetical, so there's really no way to truly know, but like just out of curiosity.
No way. The BTL was going to happen.
Happen anyways.
Whether or not I had a good experience with it. Let's assume, let's assume that it was like I found out I was pregnant and I was very happy about the pregnancy. I still would have had the abortion, because it wasn't just about the physical, how I was feeling physically. I was also not ready mentally. I also did not love the guy. Oh my God, imagine him being my baby daddy. Jesus, no. Like, it was just a guy. That,
that is a thing. That is a thing.
I'm just having fun with you. I don't want you to be my baby daddy. I'm just having fun. Come on, man. Like, so there's so many other factors that would have still made me come to that decision.
Mm-hmm. Right, that makes sense.
So it was exactly like 3 months later after tying my tubes, after the abortion, that's when I went to tie my tubes. But within that time, I now went to tell my parents that, first of all, I had an abortion and I'm going to tie my tubes.
Ooh. Oh, wow. So you told your parents.
You told them about that.
Yeah. But you see, the thing is, I had kind of prepared them by telling them I never want kids. But we were still kind of like, I think they're still in the denial phase of things.
Yeah.
So when I told them that I'm actually going to tie my tubes, now that's when the tears started.
Did they actually cry?
Yeah.
No, not in front of me. These are just stories that I was being told. But yeah, for me, it was very, yeah, for me, I cried. And I think for me, it hurt because my dad asked me, like, where did the rain start beating us? Because he was blaming himself for this.
What does that mean? When does the rain... Oh, is that a proverb?
Yes. Like, where did I go wrong? Like, I didn't notice this was happening. Where did I lose a grip of you? You know, like... Because he was like, I raised you well, took you to good schools. I did everything. Why are you turning out this way? You know?
Honestly, it just seems like a really, 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 I don't even know whether to say like stressful experience, like just kind of seeing like, okay, you've made up your mind that this is kind of what you want, right? But your parents also have a very strong reaction to it. And they're kind of see it from what I'm hearing. It just seems like they're seeing it as like a reflection of them, like your choice is a reflection of their own choices in kind of bringing you up. And I just can't imagine, but it just sounds like a very, very like emotional experience and disheartening experience for you, I guess, because it's not about them. It's about you and your own decisions, right? But then I guess maybe, did you feel bad? I guess you probably felt bad about them feeling bad.
Feels bad till now. In a way. Even till now, till today, it feels bad that that's how I made them feel. Because my dad, because I kept asking them, well, if I have a child, that will not make me happy. Like I told them that. I was like, that will not make me happy. And if I do have a child, that will make you happy, but that will make me miserable. I told them that. And I'm like, would you rather see me miserable? Right. But then they threw the same question to me. They're like, then would you rather see us miserable? And I had to like sit with that and I had to decide and I had to choose me. And that was difficult. Mm. That was hard.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was hard.
And I feel like even the added like African context of this and like how like there's like a lot of like expectations from kids to their parents and parents to their kids. I can't even imagine how like harder this was as an African. Yeah. Like definitely...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And always wanting to like respect your parents and obey them and, you know.
Yeah.
And then I think also for parents, not just my parents, I think for many African parents, there's this thing that we do, especially mothers do to their daughters subconsciously because it's just how we are as Africans. So like, for example, a girl will be washing clothes and the mom will say, oh, is that how you'll be washing clothes for your kids? Mm-hmm. Or they'll be cooking. Yes. They don't cook very well. They're like, is this how you'll be cooking for your husband? You know,
and by doing that.
Yes, exactly. It's like we're being indoctrinated. We're being trained to become someone's mother and husband even before we know what being a mother and husband is, you know?
Yes.
And by doing so, we're instilling three things. We are assuming three things about our girls. One, you're assuming that she wants to be a mom, which maybe she doesn't. Two, you're assuming she wants to be married, which, again, maybe she doesn't. Three, you're assuming that she wants to be married to a man.
Right. Mm. That one.
Yeah. Yeah. So now you can imagine if you're a child-free lesbian, imagine how disappointing that is.
Ooh. Is that multiplied by two?
Yeah. That's a triple whammy.
Yeah, times three, sir.
Yeah. So for African women, we have a huge burden. The moment you're born an African woman, the weight is already on you. And it's up to you to decide to say no and put it down. But then when you put it down, you're also disappointing a lot of people and you're also going to be questioned a lot. So you really have to be very strong-headed and your decisions must come from you, not from someone influencing you on TikTok, not from a society influencing you, not by religion influencing. The answers must be coming from you. And that's why when I was talking, I told you, you have to sit with yourself. And this sitting with yourself is going to take years of sitting with yourself. It's not a one-day conversation that you're going to have. It's going to be a very long and a very hard conversation with yourself. And once you decide that this is what you want, oh man.
Whew. It's freeing.
Oh, hallelujah. Like, free. You're now free. So when people call you names or when they tell you to change your mind, like really nothing bothers you for real. Nothing.
Now, honestly, I just want to give like serious props to you for choosing yourself because I can't like choosing yourself amidst everything because it's like, it wasn't like, you know, you choose yourself in an easy situation. It was like a very, very hard one. So like, honestly, just serious props there. Like I can't.
Thank you. Yeah. Sometimes, honestly, I look back and I'm like, whoa, you were strong, girl.
Yeah, like the strength of that, like, and I feel like not even just the strength, it's like the strength, but also like the self-awareness to be sure that this is what I want. And it's like every single thing has shown me and taught me otherwise, but I have done this for myself. And I have like, you know, kind of like what you said about like sitting with yourself, you've done the hard work and it's probably still going to be an uphill battle for a bit, but that's okay. Yes, I'm going to still choose myself. Like, wow, that strength, bruh.
Props
for real.
To you. For
mental.
Real,
it's almost like your mind, it's just mental stamina and for you not to break. Mm-hmm. And you can imagine, for me, I'm like, as long as I'm good with my family, the internet and the rest of the world doesn't really matter. I've had this conversation with them. Even before I tied my tubes, I've had this conversation, you know? Mm. And I've gone through the work with my family and we've done the tears. We're done with that. We're stronger now, and this is the direction that we're taking. So for me to even declare myself publicly, it's not like, oh, I just woke up this morning and decided, oh, let me take my phone and just tell people I'm child-free. No, it took years, man, for me to get here.
It's years and years.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of being self-aware.
But I think it's just so wild that there's probably a lot of people in your position that decide to just take the easy way anyways. And it's seemingly the easy way, but then it's actually a life of misery. And there's a lot of people like living like that. Yeah. It's like, as you said, you were telling your parents that it would make you miserable. And it's just so crazy that people still acquiesce anyways, because it is the easier path. Like that emotional barrier that you have to break to break that news to parents that have been expecting those three things, as you said, since you were born.
Yeah.
It's difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're letting them down if you think about it. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can imagine you've been training your daughter to become a wife and mother for 20 years or for 30 years. And then she just comes back and says, yeah, you know, those things you've been training me for to become a mom and a wife. Yeah, I'm not going to be any of that. You know, you feel like you've wasted your time. Like, why was I doing all of this training you and doing all this? So I can empathize from their side. And also the fact that they come from a different generation, a generation that believes that as a mother, for you to be seen as a successful mom, then you need to raise a woman that not just becomes a wife, but also becomes a mother. So it's a reflection of you as a mom and how you performed. So it's almost like she's giving back the grades and she scored zero. She scored an F, you know, like your daughter is neither a wife nor a mother. Where were you? Were you absent? Where were you? And you're like, well, I did all the work. I already put in all the work. I did everything. I did everything right. It just, I failed, you know? And they don't understand that that's not their fault. Like, me being child-free has nothing to do with them. They raised me perfectly. They're the best parents. I could never ask for any other parents. They're the best. But still, but still, they got an F. You know?
Wow.
Mm-hmm. You know, I love that you're able to like empathize with them. I feel like it just like even makes the decision like more solid, because you're able to kind of be like, you know what? I see how this can truly and fully affect you. And I do think that sometimes in like some of these discussions, it almost feels like people are just like, oh, I'm just going to choose me. Like, I don't care how you feel. Like, you know, it doesn't matter, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And like, I do think like sometimes there's space for that depending on what we're discussing. But I think like the fact that you're able to like choose you, but still empathize for them based off of like, you know, them being African and like what society is like, you know, in like an African context demands, like you raise a daughter, you raise her to be a mother, you raise her to be a wife and all those things. Like, I think it's honestly very admirable. But yeah, I just wanted to throw that in there.
I hear that, but I also feel like in a way, it's also somehow a lack of seeing your child as like an individual that also has like a decision to make. Yeah. Like, I think in an African society, and I think the difference between Imama and I, like in a lot of conversations that we have anyways, is like, I think you consider the now and like understanding their point of view, because I completely see it. I just feel like if we were all to make excuses for it, like society might never change. It's very understandable as to where they are. It makes sense. Mm. It, in fact, is ingrained in the society and how they were raised and their and everything. But it's just, if you think about it for a second deeper, you know that it just means that you raised your child to be a reflection of you and not necessarily like an individual of their own. And you didn't even have the expectation for wants that they might not want the same things that you want. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a chain on them in a way. Mm. Like, yeah, it's, no, they can only go so far because you want them to be, to have your decisions and the things that you want.
Yeah. And
so
that's,
I think,
fair.
While we understand, yeah, sorry, Mama, go ahead.
No. Sorry, finish your thought.
I'm just saying, like, while it's completely fair that, like, they think the way they are, but, like they do, but I think that if even they, in their context, take a second to think about it, they would also see that you are an individual with hopes and dreams and you have your life to live. They also hope that you would live long after them and stuff. And if you've only done stuff to please them, you would have a life of like living with the consequences of what they wanted. And you would live with that for much longer than they even have to see it. So I don't know. I still think they can understand the decision too.
And that's fair. And I do think, and I mean, honestly, maybe like I'm not understanding this correctly, but because like, I do think, kind of like Abby had mentioned that like, now, like, you know, you guys have are in a better place. So, and I feel like kind of where I'm coming from is, I'm not saying that we should empathize and empathize forever, but it's like when the news is broken to them at first, I do think that that empathy is very commendable, just because it's like they have literally been trained this way as well all their life. So it might take them some time to get to the point where it's like, you know what, my child is an individual. So I feel like that's why that initial empathy and the fact that I guess you, Abby, were able to have that is just so commendable, because it's like you're able to work through that hard thing to get to a better relationship with them, where they're like, okay, you know what, even though I'm an old dog, and typically you can't teach old dogs new tricks. You can't teach old dogs new tricks. I'm still able to, like, you know, eventually learn one or two new tricks that make me see my daughter a little bit better as an individual. But in
then I have good news so for think, you, Imanma.
Yeah.
I have good news for you, because we did get to that point. We are actually at that point.
Okay. Perfect. I love that.
This happened just like a few months ago this year. And
congratulations.
Yeah, honestly.
Oh, wait, guys, wait. He didn't like say it. Because you know African parents, like, they say they love you, but they will never utter those words, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So there's a time I was in my room, and now I have other siblings. So it's not like I've denied them grandkids. My parents have more than 10 grandkids from my other siblings.
Sorry.
So added context is actually funnier.
So there was a time he came to my room and he was like, you know, Ebby, as a parent, you're really happy when you know that you don't have to worry about your child. You don't have to worry if they've eaten. You don't have to worry if they've paid their rent. Like, you don't have to worry about the small things, you know, like the things that will help you survive. You don't have to worry about it. It's only like when you need big things, that's when like we'll come together. But day-to-day things, like I'm very, like I never worry about you. You know, like I know you're fine. Aww. And it's, and as a child, and it's like as a parent, it really gives me a lot of joy to know that I don't have to worry about you.
Aww.
And I think to him,
that
he
is
had,
really nice.
Yeah. And to him, I think he had finally accepted. And he's seeing the kind of lifestyle that I'm living. And he understands that if I was a parent, I would not be able to afford such a life, such a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Because if you're to compare it with other people, say other, maybe some of his children's colleagues or maybe some of my relatives, I am honestly doing relatively well simply because I don't have the expense of raising a child. And I keep saying it, like, it's not like I have a lot of money. It's just that I am not raising a human. That's the difference. So if you're both being paid $100 and you have a child and I don't, it will seem like I'm living a softer life, but the earnings are the same. They're exactly the same. You just have higher expenses because you have a dependent and I don't. That's the difference. But you're earning the same.
I completely agree with you. I was going to try to take it to a lighter place.
Yes.
Like, still there. In terms of dating and like what your experiences have been dating while being child free. And like, if you ever have to, like, do you tell them on the first date and be like, by the way,
question. Yeah. Before, like how you came out to your parents, do you come out early to your potential partners too?
It's been a while since I went out on a date because I'm already dating. I've been in a serious relationship for a while. But when I was still like, you know,
on the streets,
looking around on the streets, I hear the streets are cold. I have no idea. I haven't been there in a while.
That's so good. Been
there in a while. Oh no! Oh my God. But when I used to like go out on dates, yeah, that was definitely first date conversation. And there are men, yeah, oh, for sure. Because I don't want to waste your time. Like if you're just meeting up for a hookup, great. But if you think that there's going to be a future between us, then just know from the get-go that this is how it is. And also apart from that, the other rule that I had was I am not a one-man kind of woman. So. Like, don't expect.
Is that in dating or is that like even in serious relationships and stuff like that?
Oh, in dating, in serious relationships, I don't want to feel like I'm being like, okay, now you're mine and you're nobody else's. I don't want to be owned. Like, I want to be with you because I am with you. And it's not like, oh, then if you go to someone else, then there's this penalty. No. Okay. I want my partner to be free and I also want to be free. And we're together because we want to be together. Mm-hmm. And there's no penalty for lusting on another man or another woman. You're with me because you want to be with me.
Mm. Yeah. I feel like there's so many conversations we can have with you because you're very like what Nigerians would call ote.
Yeah.
What is ote?
It's like, I guess like
alternative.
Yeah, alternative. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I guess like alternative like from like mainstream. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it's because I think about many things. That's why I'm not. That's why we'll talk about with me. You can talk about many things: religion, child-free, politics, like it's relationships. It's yeah, it's different. But yeah, so anyways, I was dating. For me, it was first date conversation. I tell you that I do not want to have a child. That was part of the conversation. And yes, I did lose a number of good potential relationships because of my very strong stance. And some I didn't really care about. Some were sad. But then I would rather respect you and respect your time than waste it. Because I also don't want to waste my time. Like, I know where I want this to go. And if it's not going where I want it to go, then respectfully, let's end it. And because of that, I've actually maintained friendships with many of my exes, because it was never about hating each other. It's just about we're on different journeys.
Yeah, like a toxic break.
Different journeys, and all the best.
Quick question yeah. about that. So have you ever had like have you ever met somebody and you really, really, really liked them that you didn't like, you felt like, you know what, maybe I should keep this this news about me that is not the norm from them just so I can enjoy it a little bit longer? Like, have you ever met somebody and just wanted to be selfish just because of how much you liked them?
No. No. And I've never asked that question. And right now I'm thinking that would never even pop in my head. Like, let me lie to you. Like, I like you so much.
Are
so
you
let
serious?
Me it wouldn't even
Maybe
pop
I'm
in
not
my
a
head.
Great person.
No. If I was such a lie, I feel like a lot of people would lie though.
And like, not that I would lie, but sometimes, I feel like for a it would bit. Definitely pop in my head, like for sure. It's like funny. I think knowing myself, I might not like execute on it, but like
be like, oh, I like you so much, let me not say this today.
Yeah, I feel
yeah,
like that would
maybe
it'll
come
yeah.
up in the future.
Yeah, like,
but
maybe,
like let's
two
just
weeks
be now.
Next month. Like, let's just live in the moment, you know.
No, and then to be honest,
that's good though.
It's like there are too many men for me to be lying for one man, like legit.
Fair. Angle.
One, it never popped for me to lie. And two, it was always my conversation breaker. It was always my go-to conversation. So it was definitely part of the menu.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's so crazy though, because I don't know if you know, like, Jeannie Mai, the whole thing where she didn't want to have a kid for like the longest time, and she was married to this man, or at least with him for like 10 years or so. And they were both on the same page in that they didn't want kids. Mm-hmm. And then I think towards the end of their marriage, my guy started changing his mind. And he actually wanted kids and stuff. And that ended up being like the end of, like, what triggered, I guess, the end of their marriage and stuff.
Yeah.
So is that like a fear that you ever have too sometimes, that a partner of yours might change their mind, even though, and that even what Imama said, maybe he actually did want kids for a very long time, but he just never he just decided to fly and just go with it. And then at some point, maybe he started considering his mortality and stuff, and he's like, actually.
Well, for one, I'm dating, by the time I was dating my guy, he already had a vasectomy. So, and I have a BTL. So
nice.
None of us can change our minds. Even
no,
if we're
both locked in.
Yeah.
None of us can.
Literally.
However, let's assume that he did not have a vasectomy. He already has grown kids. So he's not child free.
Okay.
So there's no chance of him saying, oh, I miss being a dad. No, he's been a dad already before he got divorced. So he's already done it. He's been there, done that, got the t-shirt, you know? And I keep telling people that if you're afraid that you might meet a man that might change their mind, then go for a man who already has a divorced guy, one who already has kids, then chances of him wanting kids again, especially after being a present dad, I find, especially if you are a present dad, not like some deadbeat kind of guy. If you're a present dad who was there to change the diapers and who was there for the sick nights, if you're a present dad, chances are if you ever get divorced, you're never having another kid. Like, you now want to just relax and actually enjoy life. So chances are you will not want another kid. However, let's assume that you meet a guy and you're afraid, you're in love with him, but he doesn't have kids and you're afraid that he might change their mind. If I were in that situation, I would gladly let him go, because it's not about me. It's about him. And he wants to be happy. He wants to have a child, right? Why should I block it? So if you have decided after 10 years of marriage that you really, really, really 100% want to have a child, then I will not stand in your way, man. I'll let you go. Go multiply. Go fill the earth. Like, why should I?
I'm screaming.
Fill the earth.
No, but for real, like, I want you to be happy. And if I love you, then I should be able to let you go and be happy, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Because I don't want you next to me lying in my bed and being miserable. I'm not a prison, man. I've not locked you. You want to go and be happy? Go and be happy. Yeah, I don't own you.
It feels like, actually, I can't find the word. Oh, bro, honestly, I'm not going to go into my English language spiel anymore. But, like, I'm like, it feels like a lot of the way that, like, you know, you approach things is very honorable. I think that's the word I would use. Like, it's very, like, honorable. And it's so interesting because it's like, I don't know. I don't think I've experienced that from a lot of people. Like, I don't think I've seen a lot of people that are able to be like, just like, you know what, if this is what's going to happen, then it is what's going to happen. And I'm just not going to try to, like, you know, fake it so that it succeeds or what, like, stuff like that. So it's, yeah, I think it's a different experience that I'm used to, but it's cool. It's really nice. It's interesting. Refreshing, mm-hmm. I guess, is what I'm looking for. I don't know. But yeah.
Word of the day.
Refreshing.
I also know you're very vocal on social media about the choice that you have, right? That you have made. And I was reading through some of the comments because there are some videos and they're very controversial because, again, society has a certain way of thinking. And yeah. What are some misconceptions people have about being child-free and choosing to be child-free? Because I know I've had discussions with my parents and they believe that one of it is like being selfish, I guess, in some way. Mm. But what do you usually get?
Well, I think one of the biggest misconceptions about people that are child-free is that we hate kids. And people really think I hate kids. Some people really think I'm the devil. And I hate kids. Like the video, the TikTok right now on my page that's trending is the one that I made. And I talked about places where parents should not be bringing their kids, you know, like in fine dining restaurants. Why are you bringing a toddler to fine dining restaurant, man? Like, why are you bringing your child to a house party? Why are you bringing your kid to a wedding or a funeral?
A house party?
Not a house party.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Or the cinemas. I hate that one. Like,
yes, up in cinemas.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. So you see, when I talk about such things, people say I hate kids and I don't want kids in public places. And I'm like, I didn't say I don't want, like, we have so many kid-friendly restaurants, right? Why would you want to go to the one where people are just dressed up and just fine dining and just looking nice, you know? Like, why would you want to take your child to the cinema and you know your kid is fussy? You already know that. Why would you want to do that? Even though, yes, it's a public space. Yes, it's your money. But, you know, so having such strong opinions makes people think that I hate kids. But I'm just talking about things that should be common sense. You know, like right now when I said, why do you want to bring your kid to a house party? And you guys are like, what? House party, exactly. Like, you're shocked. Like, why would someone, and trust me, the people in the comments that are defending that still. Parents, actual parents that are defending.
Sorry, please, can you just help me? Just give me like just one defense, because I'm genuinely so confused. Like, what is like something that they've said? I can't even see the rationale behind it.
They're like, well, not all kids are fussy. And anyways, they will be outside playing or doing whatever, or like locked up in one room and you can party in the other. They don't see problems.
I don't understand. So they didn't misunderstand the house party. Like, they didn't think it was you. You always say house party. They didn't think lunch party, as in outside in the dark.
No. They fully understood. And came with packed lunch and milk and porridge to go microwave.
Okay. Wow. Interesting.
Oh my gosh. That is something. That's a choice.
But maybe that's part of people's misunderstanding of the gravity of what parenthood really looks like.
Exactly.
Because if you don't have childcare, it just means that your life will change. Yeah.
You'll
in
miss
certain
out.
Ways. Like, you might not be able to go to a house party because you cannot bring your child to a house party. It's just an unspoken rule.
Yeah. I know. And guys were like, well, if I've been invited and you know I have a kid, why invite me? And you know I have a kid. And I'm like, well, then
that's not good.
Get invited. Then that's why, because you always show up with your kid, man.
That's why a lot of people with kids actually, at least on podcasts, talk about. They're friends sometimes start not inviting them to things.
Yeah.
But that really sucks though. I think it happens the other way.
It does happen both ways. Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's tough. Yeah. It's just people with kids just want to hang. Like if you're doing things properly, you just end up hanging out with other people who have kids and likewise. So, I mean, it's a tough kind of life.
But it's a choice that you make. I don't know why people make it sound like they're being forced into it. No one forced you into it. And it will just gradually, naturally happen like that, where all your friends will be parents and your single friends will no longer be hanging out with you. Because I have tried hanging out with my friends that now have kids, and half the time, unless we're meeting outside of the house. But if we're meeting inside their house, then it's, oh my God, it's every 2 seconds, mama, mama. And you're just like, we can't have a conversation now. we can't. And it's not a bad
thing. I see why they think you don't like it. I see. But it's just actually a matter of
But your life will change.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, you just have to, like when you make a choice, you just have to understand that with that choice comes not changes. Consequences, but changes. Yeah. So it's like, I mean, it is consequences, but it doesn't always have to be negative, but it comes changes. And there are also things that you will get to experience that might be very positive to you that people like, you know, without kids will get to experience that, you know, that you think are not so positive for them. So it's just, I guess it's just recognizing that you now have changes that you just have to accommodate for, and your life just cannot be the same, like, you know, prior to kids. But I do think it's interesting because I have seen like some, I guess, Instagram accounts of like people being like, oh, even though I have kids now, I'm doing everything that, like, you know, I was doing before to show you all that your life doesn't have to change with kids. And it's just always so interesting to me because I'm like, no, your life has changed. You have
changed.
Like, it's like same thing as when you're single and you are with somebody. It's like your life has changed. You have another person actively in your life. Like, it's like, and that is okay too. We need to, I think, embrace those changes and not see them as the end of the world. At least that's if you're choosing to have kids.
Given that you're choosing, I think what it is a lot of people don't see it as a choice. And I think that's actually the genesis of it.
They don't see having kids as a choice?
They see it as a natural life transition. Do you get what I mean? Like, that's why if when you choose not to have kids, it's actually the choice instead of when you choose to have kids. I think people don't see it as a choice because they're like, I'm married or I'm not married. It's just like a part of life instead. But I think people should think of it as a choice because it's a choice that changes things.
And I actually do think that if you're not going to see it as a choice, and if you're going to see it as something that's forced on you, then maybe Ebby's radicalizing you, but then just don't have kids. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Like, because, like, I think one thing that is always so interesting to me is, like, I guess more recently, I've been very passionate about, like, just the pains that I feel like children experience that I feel like they should not be experiencing. And I think a lot of it is because people that have no business having kids are having kids. It's just, I think it's like, it's just so unfair on the coming generation or like the people that you're bringing into this world where it's like, because society has told you that you do this and you're now doing it out of like anger, you're not punishing the child. It's just so unfair. Like, it's like, if it's doing you like that, just don't have kids or I don't know.
Or make up your mind that you are about to have a child.
Exactly.
Both man you're about to have woman, a child. Like, because some men be acting too like they don't have a whole family like in their house when they step outside.
It's like, so if you feel like society is forcing you to do it, then sit down with yourself and understand that, you know what, this is a choice that society has forced me into and I'm just going to have to be okay with it.
OMG. This reminds me of that show. This is just a show I think Matilda watched, The Beauty Queen of Jerusalem. The husband in the show. So I remember telling Matilda, like, I was like, oh my God, I feel like he's the most annoying character just because of the fact that he just literally has not, like, sorry guys, there's construction going on. I can't even speak. You guys should just keep talking. It's okay.
I think I know what you're about to say. Like, it's because we've had the discussion. She was telling me, like, Hadiza was saying that the man is annoying because he's passive and he doesn't do anything and decisions are pretty much made for him. And then he now resents people for those decisions that, like, inaction is action in a way, because if you don't make a choice and a stance, people will choose for you and things will seem to happen to you. An example is, like, his mom told him to marry someone else and he was in love with this other person. And then instead of him to just say, no, I'm not going to, he married the person his mom said. And then he's now like blaming everyone else. But like, it's an active decision to marry someone. You have to participate in said marriage. I guess she's drawing parallels to like having a kid as well. It's like when you go along with what is the norm in society, it's still a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but you only went into one misconception. Are there others?
Yeah, misconception about people that are child-free. Yes. So the other misconception is that people without kids have a lot of spare money to give. I don't know where that came from. People just assume that we have extra money and extra time. So they'll always be like, oh, my kid doesn't have blah, blah. Could you help me with this amount of money? And they're like, well, I don't have money. And they're like, well, you don't have kids and you have a job. What's the use for your money? Like, what are you doing with your money? And you know, there are actually people that actually ask you that. Like, what do you do with your money?
What
because they don't understand.
You. Hey.
Yes, the audacity, because they don't understand. They really don't understand. And they actually tell you, like, you have no responsibility. So why? Or the other one, they borrow money. They say, give me a loan. So when you go ask, hey, where's my money? They're like, well, I still don't have because I'm paying school fees, blah, blah. You won't understand. You don't have kids. Like,
mad.
And these are like true stories that have been told. Like, they just assume that, well, I don't have to give you your money back because you're not struggling. Like, look at me. I have kids. I'm struggling. So I deserve it.
Wow.
And people don't just do that with money. They do that with time as well. So like, if you're supposed to be working and you've finished your work and then the boss comes in and is like, oh, well, could you work over Christmas? Because, you know, you don't have kids. So your colleague has kids. Let them have Christmas. You don't have family. They have a family. That kind of thing.
Terrible. But I know. Yeah, it does
and
happen.
People think it's so normal. People think it's so normal. Yeah. It's not normal. Because one, why would you assume that I have extra cash to give you? And if I've given you my cash, why would you assume I don't want it back? What makes you think I don't have responsibilities?
Yeah.
Why would you assume I have no responsibilities?
Terrible.
Yeah, I guess I was just going to ask, so obviously we know you do have like a TikTok platform. And I guess like I was curious, was starting your TikTok mainly to kind of like find a community, or was it like to radicalize the coming generation? Or like, was it kind of like just to have people like sit down and think?
No, I didn't start TikTok to radicalize anyone. To me, it was triggered by a few things, but one of them was, you know, I deal with reusable period products at the Grace Cup. So I talk a lot to girls about menstruation. And when you train girls on menstruation, sex talk is always a topic. Like one way or the other, menstruation is connected to sex and pregnancy. So by default, I just became a reproductive health advocate. And I talk a lot to teenagers. That's my main field. And I see so many of them getting pregnant while they're still teenagers. So many of them don't even finish school. So one, they lack the pads, right? And that's why we do reusable period products. That's why we give them the pads, because when they don't have pads, they go to men. There's actually a thing. Sex for pads is actually a thing. Like girls go have sex with men so they can get pads. Yes.
No,
it's I've heard of this actually. I've heard of this. And poor, I think in poorer areas, some girls just don't have very much. So, and I was like, how do the men this thing, like, as in live with themselves? And then the person was like, oh, in that community, the men are like, oh, well, I mean, if I just give them this pad, a lot of the women are just going to be coming to me for pad, so make an exchange for it.
What?
Yeah.
And the exchange will not be housework for pads, maybe. I don't know, like, humanity for pads. Like, why?
No, because of course they want to take advantage of them. And you know, when a girl is that young, they can go buy anything. And when it comes to, we really don't really think about this, because maybe most of us are coming from privilege. But imagine you're somewhere in traffic and you start your period. Yes, you have the money to buy, but you have no pads. That's the only thing you're going to be thinking about until you get home. Like, oh my God, I'm leaking. Oh my God, I'm on my period. Oh my God, I can't wait to go home. Now imagine a girl who does not have the product. Whether or not she goes home, she has nothing. And you cannot stop a period. You understand that? So you get to levels where you're so desperate And in most communities, the families are so poor, they don't even have food. So where are they going to get money to buy you a pad, and they can't even give you food? You understand?
And pads are expensive if you are poor. Yes. It's the last thing you want to buy. Yeah.
The last thing. And for most girls, they actually say that their parents actually say, well, I've already given you food. You go find your pads. I don't know what to do. So they leave you. And like, you're a girl, you're like 14, 15 years old. You don't have a job. We're going to buy pads for them every single month. So now you start looking for a boyfriend. And that's how it works. And someone actually summarized it very well and in a very sad way. She said, the girls go there looking for a pad. They end up not using that pad for the next 9 months.
Wow. Yeah.
And when it hits you, you're like, yeah. So like it's just then having teenage pregnancies, and then you find girls that are actually very promising, girls that actually could have been something, now have to drop out of school. Either they go get married because their families, most of the time they're thrown out. They're like, well, I can't feed you. What makes you think I'm going to feed you and your baby? You know, so you're forced into marriage. And usually you're married to some old guy whose wife probably died or is just a useless member of society. And that's your life. That's your husband now.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and your life completely changes. But for the boy, their life goes on. They go to school, they get degrees. And then they're the same men who keep saying, well, I can never date a single mother. I can't. Mm. But you made another girl in the village a single mother, but now you're saying you can never date a single. Who do you think will marry that woman now that you've made her pregnant?
Right.
You know? So it's really, to me, it's not just being child-free. It really stems from a lot of what I see. And just trying to tell girls, I'm not saying don't have kids. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm telling you is you don't have to if you don't want to. And also, you have to do it at the right time. Yeah, you're still 16, 17. You're still 24. You're still in university. Like, just could you at least get a job first before you even have a child? How are you going to feed this child? You know? So it's not about don't have kids. Personally, I'm child-free. That's an Ebby decision. But what I'm saying is, why is it so important for you to have a child? That's my question to you. Mm-hmm. Why do you feel the need to? If you're to put the religious cap away for just 1 second, you're going to pick it back up. Don't worry. Put it down. Just put it down for 1 second and then put your societal expectations and what society has trained you to become, what society has told you you are and your duties as a woman. Put that down and just remain with yourself, you know, just remain with Matilda, just you, no one else in that room. Now tell me why you want a child. Most people don't have an answer for that because all through your life, you have been told why you want a child. But rarely do we sit down and ask, yeah, but why do I want a child? Mm-hmm. And the moment you start asking that, you start realizing, oh, I guess I never really wanted a child then.
Yeah.
But if you sit down with yourself and your answer is still a very strong yes, and maybe you don't even have a reason, you know, we say we don't have a reason, but at the end of the day, everyone has a reason. But if you still decide that, yes, this is what I want, then I'm happy for you because now you're making a conscious decision to become a mother. You're intentionally becoming a mother. You're making this happen. This is not happening to you. You are making it happen.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And now you become an intentional mom because you've thought about this. You're not rushing into it. Ebby did not tell you. TikTok did not tell you. Instagram didn't tell you. Your family didn't tell you. You have decided that I want to be a mother.
Mm-hmm.
And good for you if that's what you've decided. And I'm really happy for such children because they are going to grow up knowing that they were loved even before they were born. Mm-hmm. Their mother thought about them deeply even before they were born.
Mm-hmm.
They are no accident. They've been planned for. Wow. Not a surprise.
Honestly, it's giving snap, what do you call it? Snap my fingers.
Like, like word. I honestly feel like that's a great place to end this episode. I think you've given us a very good insight into the decisions and what it's like and the hurdles you have to also go through when you make that decision. You're able to live life on your own terms, and that's amazing, to be honest. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I do want to find out so much more about your company and what you do. The Grace Cup, like, could you plug it and let us know more?
So my mother company, the mothership, is called the Crazy Company. I know. The mothership is called the Grace Cup. We deal with reusable period products. So that is menstrual cups, menstrual discs. Very soon we're bringing in the period panties. So anything that is reusable, that is what we do at the Grace Cup. But apart from that, I'm also very passionate about sexual reproductive health, and especially for women in Africa. Women in general all over the world when it comes to reproductive rights are already disadvantaged. But in Africa, I think that's like 10 times worse. Because there's not just the law that prohibits certain things. There's also culture that prohibits it. There's also religion. So it's like there are too many hoops. And when it comes to reproductive matters, that's a health right. These are not things that we should be discussing using the Bible. These are medical talks that we're having at this point. And reproductive rights should not be leveraged or should not be discussed in the same breath as what culture or religion is dictating.
I agree with you. Where can we follow up on what you do and all?
If you're on Instagram, we're at the Grace Cup. We're at the Grace Cup, and we also have at the Child Free African. So there are two Instagram pages. Mm-hmm. And then on TikTok, at the Child Free African plus the Grace Cup. So it's like both. Okay, like I said, both, the mothership goes everywhere.
Yeah. Okay. I see why you called it the mothership. It makes sense to me now. Yes. And we're going to plug all of that in the description. So like in case you didn't take note of the spelling and everything, it's in the description. Go in there and check it out. TikTok is personally how I found you. I think our last couple of episodes, when I talk about how I found out about the work, like it, a lot of people are doing TikTok. It's really through TikTok, and whether you wanted it or not, you're radicalizing me, Ebby.
I'm screaming.
Imama literally had an extensive conversation about one of the videos you posted this week, because I was
just saying,
we'll talk about this once we stop recording, but yes, so you are radicalizing. Radicalizing might not be the word, but I think.
You're already being accused of that.
True. Yes, I think you're educating, just allowing people see, have insights into things like that, and giving people like thinking points, because again, it is a choice to have a child, and I think you should at least think through a couple of things before you make that decision. Even if your stance stays the same, I think people should think about it more and just be more deliberate about the actions they make. So I really appreciate you coming on and talking.
Just one last thing that I must mention, and you've triggered that thing that I wanted to say. I keep saying that if a random person on the internet, on TikTok, can come to you and convince you that you should not be a mom, and you actually agree to it, then you probably you are never meant to be a mom from the beginning. Because remember what I told you, we've been indoctrinated ever since we were 2 years old to become mothers and wives. So if that is what you've been knowing all your life, and then all of a sudden, 25 years later, after 25 years of strict indoctrination into becoming a mom and a wife, all of a sudden your mind has been changed by a 5-second TikTok that you saw from Ebby.
Think about that.
You have always been child free. I have just put something into you, but I have not
woke you up.
I have not influenced you in any way. I've just maybe triggered a part of your brain to wake you up and make you think, but I have not changed anything. Nothing.
Agreed. Over and over again. Thank you so much, Ebby. I think this was a really fun conversation.
I appreciate
the energy you also came into it with. Thank you.
Okay, guys.
All right. And we'll catch you guys in 2 weeks. Bye.
Bye, guys. Have a wonderful week.